answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The only one that has control of the Strait of Hormuz right now is the United States Navy. We have a blockade that's been infallible. It's a steel wall. And we let people in that we want to let in, and those people come in, and they've been coming in and they're going out. So it's actually open now. We do not let them go into Iran. They're not admitted into the Strait to go to Iran.
That is President Trump on where we stand with Iran and the Strait of Hormuz. Iran insists, oh, it's closed. Trump says, no, it's open for certain ships to pass through the strait. We will not let them go into the Iranian ports nor leave the Iranian ports. That steel blockade is our U.S. Navy. And his words, we control the strait 100%. Now, some of you listening and some of those who don't participate in understanding what's really happening want to believe that Iran is winning. Iran is not winning anything. They're stalling out still. And yes, they're causing some hardships for American families. And the Iranian regime understands that point. They know that's a pressure point. If we can force more Americans to get upset with Trump, then we will have won. You do not want that to happen. If we relax everything and walk away, Iran will continue what it's been doing for decades, and they will re-escalate moving forward on their nuclear ambitions to have a nuclear weapon. The president did say from time to time they go out and drop a mine in the water, so we have to use our minesweepers to locate it and make sure the area is clear for ships that go through. He said, but Hormuz will not fully reopen unless we get what we want from Tehran. Tehran said, we're going to keep it closed until we get what we want. It's a standoff at this point. Trump is suggesting we might have to escalate. He said the Iranian leverage is rapidly eroding under the weight of the U.S. military and economic campaign. He stated, they can make trouble, but they are broke. They have no money. Iran is totally broke. They're not paying their soldiers. Their inflation is 309%. I'm not going to disagree with the numbers because I don't have any reason and knowledge to say that's overinflated or wrong. But the bottom line is the Iranian regime does not care about the people of their nation, because I will guarantee you, the leaders of the IRGC at the top are getting all the food, what they want. They're not going hungry, and they're getting whatever money they can make. Welcome to hour number two of Larry Connors USA, August 11, 2026. We're here every Monday through Friday where you get news, analysis, commentary, and education every day. You leave this hour with more knowledge than you have when we begin. Later, an author has written a book titled How Stupidity is Ruining the American Dream. You do not want to miss this. The stupidity is all around us. You know that. But he ties it together and how it is affecting and ruining the American dream for all of us. And they're willing fraudsters in our midst who are willing to continue ruining the American dream. We do know that. We'll get into that a little bit later. Once again, to dealing with Iran, our U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee.
But here's what I can tell you. Iran is not seeming to learn what they need to be learning after two different iterations of conflict with the United States and Israel. You know, there's an old saying, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Mm. And sometimes I'm wondering, how many beatings will Iran take before they realize it's time to improve not just their morale, but their morality? I think the important thing is to communicate to the American people why this matters to them. I mean, most Americans are thinking this is halfway around the world. What does it have to do with me? Well, it has to do with you in a lot of reasons. First of all, fuel prices are going to be affected by the global energy market. And if the Iranians are able to block the Strait of Hormuz, they change the dynamics of the energy market. That means prices go up. It means alignments change. That's dangerous. But the big reason is because Iran has been threatening us for 47 and a half years, telling us they're going to kill us, telling us they can't wait till the moment they get a nuclear weapon so they can use it against the U.S. They already have their proxies moved into 12 Western Hemisphere countries. Hezbollah is all over the Western Hemisphere. And if Americans don't understand that the ultimate goal that they have had, and they've said it consistently for all these years, is death to America, they're not kidding. So it's time for us to wake up.
We need to wake up. And you would have to be a fool to not understand the Iranians mean what they say when they want to destroy America. And keep in mind, through our open border policy, thank you, Joe Biden, we have an unknown number of terrorists in our nation and others who are fomenting hatred of America and overthrow of the American government. And some of them are in full view, the Democrat Socialist of America. I'll get into them in more detail, but we do know that, yes, Trump is a target. I'm sure you saw, if you haven't, let me inform you about it, that the other day the Secret Service pulled off a fast one where Trump boarded U.S. Air Force One to leave Turkey after he had arrived there for a summit. Apparently word had gotten around that there might be a danger if he got back on Air Force One at that point. It was the older one. He had not accepted the one from Qatar at that point. While everybody was photographing him going up the stairs and into the older Air Force One, there was a truck on the other side of the plane, a catering truck that had raised up to the level where Trump could step out of a door that would be basically in the gallery where the flight attendants prepare meals, drinks, and so forth, and then was taken in that truck to a smaller plane and lifted off undetected. Now, the reporters on board, especially those who hate Trump, you might ask for a future assignment, because if they go after Trump in such a case, they're not just going to bring him down. They're going to bring the whole damn plane down, everybody on board. But aside from the military action of what we've been doing with Iran, and the blockade is working to that extent, but also Treasury Secretary Bessent has been very active in shutting down funding that the Iranians would be able to reach. And the best explanation of how effective that is at this point is coming from our very own U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Mike Waltz.
Operation Economic Fury, led by Secretary Scott Bessent, is devastating the Iranian economy. And I say this jokingly, but seriously as well, the Iranians are more afraid of Secretary Bessent than they are of Secretary Hegseth right now. When they're coming to the table to our negotiators, they are talking about cash, 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 because they'll absorb the bombings. They don't care about their military. They don't care about their soldiers or even the Iranian people after they massacred 40,000 of them. But what are they worried about? They're worried about that their currency is tanking. Inflation is the highest in 80 years. The IRG controls half the economy there, because this is a corrupt elite religious fanatic regime that has devastated that country for many, many decades. They are constantly asking for access to cash, access to their assets that we've frozen. And what the president is talking about is that's the squeeze. That coupled with the blockade, that's what's going to eventually get the Iranians to move.
And, of course, it has to be to the extent where the Iranian people do not want to be under the thumb of the Ayatollah and the mullahs. But can they stand up successfully against them? We know on a constant basis Iranians are being killed, heads chopped off or hung as examples. Do not try to push back against the government. Cannot imagine the fear that some of those families live in on a constant basis. And they're basically back to using the barter system. You don't have any money. What do you got that could be of value for me somewhere down the road? You got a rock? I might need a rock for a weapon. I'll give you a couple of kernels of corn, if that'll help. In the meantime, the Democrat Socialists of America are destroying the base Democrat Party and America. One simple proposal is already blowing up. New York City owned and operated stores. Looky, looky what happened in Chicago.
Chicago spent $30 million worth of public funds to support and renovate local grocery locations meant to expand grocery store access. Those stores are closing just 2 years later. Greta Trimble joining us. Surely this serves as a warning for Mandami's grocery stores in New York City, right?
Critics certainly say it should, Stuart, but whether Mayor Mamdani will heed that warning is another question entirely. So here's what happened in Chicago. The city spent that $13.5 million you mentioned in a deal with the Save-A-Lot stores operator, a company called Yellow Banana, to open those stores. The seven stores in the city south and west sides were meant to help people in parts of the city considered food deserts. But now, just 2 years into the 10-year deal, those stores are closed. Mayor Brandon Johnson is blaming the shutdowns on federal funding cuts and a decline in SNAP purchases. And the closures are renewing calls for Chicago to jump on the city-run grocery store trend. And critics say Chicago needs to address the root of the problem: high taxes, a challenging regulatory environment, and crime.
That is a portion of Stuart Varney and talking about how things went upside down in Chicago. Chicago had made an effort to basically subsidize some stores. They weren't fully city-owned, but they were subsidizing them to the extent. They thought this will work out. Well, obviously it didn't. It blew up in their face. And one of the guys that can give you a firsthand knowledge of what happened used to be the former lead executive with Morton Williams overseeing some of these stores, Avi Kanner.
The mayor's idea of lowering grocery prices is commendable, but having run supermarkets in New York City for the past three decades, I can tell you that while his idea is good, he's going around it the wrong way. The way to do it is to help lower the costs for all New Yorkers. There are 8 million New Yorkers. By opening these five little stores, one in each borough, he'll be helping maybe 2,000 to 3,000 people a day. The root cause, as your reporter from Chicago mentioned, the root cause is the high cost of doing business in New York City.
Yeah, you know it costs a lot in New York City. And something else to keep in mind here, these Democrats, socialists of America who are all about government-owned stores, you do know that there are small mom-and-pop bodegas, small little stores where they're trying to survive, and they are charging what they can, but of course, if they have to cut it even more, how much more can they survive? They'll be out of business. So they won't even be available. And then when these city stores fail, which is going to happen, where are you going to go then? In each little borough, there are five boroughs in New York City. Each one of them has a New York City-owned grocery store. Whoopie-doo. Can you get to it from wherever you are in the borough? And then how long will the prices hold up? And then you have to worry about the cost and the issue of crime. The crime is a big issue. Once again, Avi Kanner, who was the former leader of Morton Williams in New York and elsewhere.
In New York City, it's basically legal to go in and steal up to $1,000 at a time. That's why you see security guards and off-duty police officers at the front of supermarkets and drugstores. Many drugstores in the city have actually closed down because they just couldn't afford that security and the level of theft. When you have to lock up ice cream, that's not conducive to running grocery stores. And then, of course, you have the congestion pricing, traffic pricing in Manhattan, for example. He could say that grocery store deliveries should not pay congestion pricing. Grocery stores should not pay commercial rent tax. You'll find this hard to believe. In Manhattan, for example, supermarkets have to pay New York City a tax on the rent that they pay a landlord.
What?
Which is outrageous.
Yeah. You're paying a landlord for the property, and you have to pay a tax to the city because you're paying someone else. And, of course, at their end, they have to report that they got revenue, and they'll be taxed on that. This is the way they do things in the socialist, communist, Marxist world. Oh, by the way, the New York Post pointed out that a rent-striking rising star radical orchestrating the Mamdani administration's housing agenda is a daughter of a famed music studio owner. This person grew up in a trendy $1.7 million pad in New York, North Madison Square Park area. This person, no official title, her informal title is rent advisor. She's a deadbeat. She has not been paying her landlord $2,300 a month for 4 years. That's how you beat your rent price. You just don't bother paying. Oh, and by the way, the state of Florida, Chamber of Commerce has a lot of extra money to spend, so they put up a big billboard in New York Times Square. And that billboard in New York Times Square on behalf of the Florida Business Chamber of Commerce names New York City Mayor Mamdani Economic Developer of the Year in Florida. And give him his props. He's helping Florida grow considerably. But that billboard is thanking Mamdani for driving wealth, business, and families out of New York City and many into the Sunshine State. Can you say, what's wrong here? And you know the answer. And my guest coming up is going to say the same thing. How stupidity is ruining the American dream. We have it all coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I'm proud to say that Wellington Environmental has been sponsoring Larry Connors USA for a dozen years. Wellington can help you with any hazardous issues at your home or office. But Wellington also protects our troops, our nation. Recently, Wellington has been disinfecting Army vehicles and equipment just back from overseas deployment, making sure they did not bring back disease or other contaminants. Wellington is also working on some classified jobs with Boeing and has for years. One hospital had issues with possibly contaminated water. Wellington is on the job. In addition to all these big jobs, Wellington can make sure there are no health hazards in your home. He's done it for me. So I'm more than glad to endorse Wellington Environmental. Check them out. EnvironmentalCare.com. EnvironmentalCare.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. This is Larry Connors, and this is a fact. Nobody beats John Beal on roof repairs or a whole new roof. Nobody. Oh, sure, somebody might offer you a cheaper price, but you're not getting same quality materials and work that John Beal provides. I like John Beal's approach. You buy it cheap, you're going to end up doing it all over again. Does that sound like a smart idea? Nobody beats John Beal Roofing. Call my friend John, 1-800-JOHN-BEAL, 1-800-JOHN-BEAL. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I don't need the pills you take just to feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days all without the drugs you use. Fed me for the builder's use, use me for the Great Commission. As it was and always will, as it is, I'm here to witness. Old time screaming and shouting, grow up, tell it on the mountain. Faith too strong, be left out and way of the triune God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is a professor, priest, and author of a forthcoming book titled Truth in the Age of Applause, How Stupidity is Ruining the American Dream. And Dr. Andrew Fox, glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Good to be with you again, Larry.
All right, before we begin to break down the book some, before you joined us, I was talking about how the Chamber of Commerce of Florida is now paying for a big billboard in New York Times Square crowning Mondani as Developer of the Year. Mainly because he's sending so many folks to Florida. Go ahead.
That's the epitome of stupidity on Mandani's part, for a start, but also a wicked sense of humor from Florida itself. I love it.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the DSA out there. They, when you really start looking at what they stand for, and they're not even trying to hide it, which is good on one hand because they're making it clear what they stand for, but they're still trying to cover up some of the things that they've said. Abu Assad has criticized July 4th. He's criticized the Second Amendment. These guys are rushing to the bottom of the barrel to join him and say that we're part of this new group.
Well, they're playing towards a group of people. I wouldn't even say a generation. I would say a group of people that are politically homeless. They don't know if they're Republican or Democrat or independent. And they've not read history. They don't read into the ills of communism. Mm. They don't read into the founding of this country. And so it stems from who or what is feeding them information. And most of them will get their information from TikTok, which is a flip of a coin, whether it's true or false, which the DSA... I think their strength is not protesting. Their strength is in organizing themselves. They've organized themselves and become great TikTok social media publishers. And they're able to prey on these individuals with very little reading into the how the world works and how America was formed, and they're politically homeless. So they're very, very impressionable.
Even former Democrat New York Governor Cuomo said, if I were telling the DSA what to be doing as an attorney or something, I'd say, shut your mouth.
You cannot help but think that, you know, I go back to the parenthesis of my book, How Stupidity is Ruining the American Dream. What I do is take what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, and it's very relevant to the DSA today. He was a pastor and theologian of the Second World War who went up against Adolf Hitler. And he said to the German people, he said, look, you're not stupid in the sense that you're not unintelligent. You are rational, smart. You're logical. You're reasonable. You are intelligent people, but you're abdicating your God-given judgment an individual thought just to go along with the ideology. Of course, the ideology back then was the Third Reich.
Right.
I see the same thing happening with the DSA. I'm not saying it's the Fourth Reich. What I'm saying is good, smart, moral, intelligent, logical, rational, reasonable people are applauding those who are coming out with the most kindergarten Sesame Street things like abolish Congress, get rid of... I mean, you've got governors, Democrat governors, supporting the DSA, but the DSA wants to do away with governors.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid can you get? It's almost laughable.
Yeah, it is laughable, and I think they can get more stupid. I mean, but I point out to my audience, I don't want them to accept whatever I say for fact. Check me out. Verify. Use your independent thinking, which we seem to have lost in this nation.
Oh my goodness. The two degrees I would love to see come back to higher education that have more or less been abolished is critical thinking and also persuasion of how to have civil dialogue,
right,
where you can destroy an argument without destroying the person. That's the America you grew up in, and that's the America I came to 26 years ago. But it's just become one big slanging match, and it can't be taken seriously, but it is getting serious.
I often have advised students over the decades I've been teaching younger journalism students, and I tell parents who have kids in school, be it grade school, high school, college, make sure they spend at least one course, if not more, on debate. Get involved in the debate club so you can learn to argue the facts on either side just as strongly, that you can recognize the other side has some points, battle that side, and then have to flip the coin and go argue the other side just as strongly.
And sometimes it's good to know that you're wrong.
Yeah.
And knowing that you're wrong without going out crying in a corner of a room with a box full of tissue papers, knowing you're wrong is part of our development. And so when you are never wrong, you're always right. What you have is someone saying, I'm struggling with anxiety, which is a real thing, anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've just engaged a therapist. And then the comments on that is, you're the bravest person I've known. Well, no, they're not the bravest. They're being smart. They're getting help. But the police officers that go out in the middle of the night to a 911 call, that's brave. That's courageous.
Yeah.
The first responders that put the house out when it's on fire, they're brave. The paramedics that go into dire situations, they're brave. What we're doing is we're verbally awarding a politically homeless people with accolades just to get their attention and to get their followership. It's like sea lions clapping for fish. The zookeeper comes out, throws fish out, and the sea lions start clapping. That's the audience of the DSA. The most thoughtless, the most empty-headed people I've ever met.
And yet, they're in our midst, and they're growing, and they're actually probably going to win some battles. State of Wisconsin is up for grabs tonight by another far, far left DSA member. And again, those inside the old Democrat Party, and by saying old, I'm talking about just AOC is a moderate compared to some of these idiots.
Yeah. Well, I think what will happen is each state will become very defined by its politics, very defined. So I come from a nation state. I come from Great Britain. I'm now an American citizen, but I grew up in a nation state, one nation, one state. I moved to a nation of 50 states, and the more and more polarized we become, Texas will become distinctly Texas.
It always
Florida
is. And wait a minute, Doc. It always is. It always will be. Go ahead.
Well, even more so. I mean, you could say that Austin is more or less purple.
No, not happy with that.
And it's become purple because of the purple-headed people.
Yep.
But you know, I think if people are fed up in Ohio, they'll move to a state where it's more conducive for their politics, which will affect schooling and housing and taxes and just about everything else. So I'm with you, my brother. Texas is a great state to live in. It still upholds the good old American values.
You're talking to a native-born Texan, born in Austin, and I'm extremely distressed over how blue Austin has gone. And it's primarily because of the University of Texas beginning to want, decades ago, wanting to have more prestige, be in the crowd of Harvard and the rest of them, bringing in more of these left-wing professors who then began to bring more of their baggage. That's the issue with some of those leaving New York and these blue cities and states going into basically red territory. Then they bring all this baggage with them and they start recreating what they had just escaped.
Well, I agree with you, but let me offer you something a little sinister here that your audience might want to think about, is those higher education professors and definitely high school teachers, statistically, they do not have, the majority of them in high school teachers don't have children themselves.
Right.
And so what they do is they hijack your children, my children, our grandchildren, and they manipulate our own families from the school system because they don't have kids themselves. Now, admittedly, in higher education, professors do have, the majority of them have kids. But for those who don't, they are targeting deliberately and willfully your kids that are young adults now and indoctrinating them. And so we must have these regulations, even when it comes to who is teaching my kids and what are they teaching them. And what kind of voice does the parent have in that?
And thereby, you reinstate the value of get involved with your Board of Education on election day.
Yeah. And again, the irony, let's go back to the DSA. Right across the country, there is a troubling amount, and I don't mean anything anti-religious in this, but there's a troubling amount of Muslims that are becoming electable candidates in their constituencies. And yet with them, they bring a subjugation of women.
Right.
They bring the oppression of women, and women are voting for these people.
Yes.
I have no grasp apart from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's stupidity.
I agree.
You know, why are you voting for someone who's going to come after you as a woman? It makes no logical sense to me.
Dr. Fox, I want to thank you again. The book coming out, Truth in the Age of Applause, How Stupidity is Ruining the American Dream. I can't wait to read it in full, sir.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll have you back. Thank you very much. Dr. Andrew Fox, professor, priest, author of that book, Stupidity Ruining the American Dream. Yes, it is. Coming up, making D.C. safer because of Trump.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. I'm proud to say that Wellington Environmental has been sponsoring Larry Connors USA for a dozen years. Wellington can help you with any hazardous issues at your home or office. But Wellington also protects our troops, our nation. Recently, Wellington has been disinfecting Army vehicles and equipment just back from overseas deployment, making sure they did not bring back disease or other contaminants. Wellington is also working on some classified jobs with Boeing and has for years. One hospital had issues with possibly contaminated water. Wellington is on the job. In addition to all these big jobs, Wellington can make sure there are no health hazards in your home. He's done it for me. So I'm more than glad to endorse Wellington Environmental. Check them out. EnvironmentalCare.com. EnvironmentalCare.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down, down on my knees and begging I'd be to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw heaven every day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Our capital should be an example for the whole world, and President Trump has made Washington, D.C. an example for the whole world. I mean, over 16,000 arrests, almost 2,000 firearms taken off the street. You know, three dozen murder suspects taken off the street. He's done great. I mean, the D.C. is the safest it's ever been. Crime rates down. Then he's done it in Memphis. I just wish Chicago would take his offer up and let the president help Chicago, because that's a shooting gallery every weekend. President Trump has proved a success. It should be a nonpartisan issue. Other mayors, New York City, Chicago, Detroit, you should take President Trump up on the offer and make these cities safe again. It should be nonpartisan.
Should be nonpartisan. That is our board czar, Tom Holman, said you should want safer streets. I think most of us do. I know most of us do. And especially the minority community, they are the shooting range for what's happening on the streets. And of course, then it spills over into other residential areas and business areas, and it creates more crime on top of crime, and it just goes on and on. And what we're seeing right now is that this permissive policy, at least in D.C., you see a crackdown by Trump to bring basic peace to District of Columbia. But you're not hearing any praise from the left. You're not hearing it from minority groups who now say this is a good idea. Holman is saying follow the D.C. example. It is now, he says, one of the safest cities in the nation. If you recall, troops were also sent into Memphis to get them to have peace. It should not be in this nation a risk every time you walk out the door. It should not be that way. But that's exactly what it is right now. In the meantime, just trying to protect our vote, much less the citizens. The other day, the Attorney General's office sent out notice to all 50 states. All 50 states. You're now on notice. You must make sure any illegals who vote in your state will be prosecuted. You need to make sure they do. It went to all 50 states. Well, the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, Harmeet Dhillon, says some of those blue cities and states started going wacko.
Saw some, you know, hyperventilating from some, including I think Lieutenant Governor in Utah, who's also the election official, and she seemed to think she was being persecuted because Utah is refusing to hand over their voter rolls in our civil litigation. No, Deirdre, this is not aimed at you. It is for everybody. And, you know, in fact, many election officials are lawyers, they know this, but no one has been enforcing these parts of our laws, and we're enforcing them. We're enforcing them against people who voted illegally. There are criminal prosecutions ongoing in that regard, and we're going to enforce them against the people whose responsibility is to ensure that doesn't happen.
And in fact, the appeals court is permitting fast-track deportations for migrants, illegals, those who should not be here, those who are here on visas and they've overstayed their time here. In fact, the DHS says illegal immigrant arrest and deportations are up from 2025. No surprise there. President Trump wants to see this country once again occupied by Americans and those who come here legally, not to give birth and have an anchor baby, but come here for family or fun or whatever they want to do that we certainly would allow and encourage. But those who are coming into this country to destroy us, no. No, they should have not be here in any way. Someone else we need to deal with, and I'm looking for more and more focus on this guy, that would be Dr. Fake. The other day, of course, we were getting a lot of the information from his diaries and journals of what he had been writing while he was in the midst of COVID, talking about how great it was to have all these movie stars fawning over him, and how he had a dinner at his house with Jake Tapper of CNN and his wife. Jake Tapper never reported that. Not that dinner or the other one that followed. And those dinners came after Fauci was telling the nation, you should not even have a small gathering at your house. You'd be a super COVID spreader. Certainly no Thanksgiving dinner. But Fauci was having Tapper and his wife to his house. Two things there. One, Fauci telling you to do one thing while he does what he wants to. And two, quote, I don't know if I can say this. I don't know if I can get these words out. Tapper, a journalist, jughead. Well, I don't want to do that. Marines are often called jugheads. An idiot never once reported that he had dinner with Fauci. Don't you think, as a prime anchor on CNN, that should have been reported to protect your own credibility? Believe me, if Fauci had invited me to his house, I would have gone, and then I would have reported on it. Let me look through my papers. Maybe I misplaced an invitation from him, right? But I would have gone, and I've been telling you about it. But for Jake Tapper, it's just something between the two of us until that got unveiled. Now we're seeing more information, because he had government-supplied phone and computers. That's where we were reading and getting these journals and diary entries he was making. Now with his phone, they're finding 34,000 text messages, more than 500 voicemails, according to Republican committee members. This is in addition to the diary entries we heard about last week. He was asked at one time, are the vaccines safe? And he said, I agree with Rochelle. She was one of those, of course, involved in passing along information as to what we should or should not be doing during COVID. Rochelle Walensky, then director of the Centers for Disease Control in the Biden administration. The other one was Vivek Murthy, former U.S. Surgeon General under Obama, Trump, and Biden. Fauci said, I agree with Rochelle. There is no data and no theoretical reason to believe that vaccinating early versus later in pregnancy would be preferred. Yet some people, even female healthcare professionals, in parentheses, feel concerned about injecting a genetic vaccine very early in pregnancy. I wonder why they think that. Because we tell pregnant women, from the moment you know you're pregnant, do not drink, do not smoke, do not take drugs. That would include vaccines, unless you knew it was perfectly good for you. But Fauci wrote to his group with Rochelle Walensky and Vivek Murthy. Some folks might be compelled about injecting a genetic vaccine And he was doing this about a month and a half after the first COVID vaccines were first rolled out. But he said, there is this misperception. When the misperception gets extended to an early developing fetus, it heightens anxiety. It ended up in a miscarriage for more than 100 women who got the vaccine. Losing their baby because they were doing what they thought was best for them and their baby. And yet at the same time, and I raised the question then repeatedly, those of you who are long listeners of this program, you know that. I raised it almost daily. How can they say the vaccines are good down to age 2 and yet also say pregnant women can have them? You're telling me from the moment of birth to the age 2, the kids might not be a good candidate for the vaccine. It might be dangerous for them. And you're ignoring every piece of advice you give pregnant women of getting drugs, alcohol, smokes when they're pregnant. The COVID czar, Feb 2021, just days after talking about this misperception, publicly insisting the FDA had, to that point, discovered no red flags involving pregnant women. And in fact, he later, in August 30, said pregnant women should get vaccinated. He said there are tens and tens of thousands of women who have been followed by the CDC, vaccinated when pregnant, and everything's okay. Murthy wrote to him, for pregnant women considering vaccine, are you aware of any data, any reason why vaccinating early versus late pregnancy would be preferred? Any data whatsoever? Fauci weighed in on that with his own answer, his opinion, not science, but Dr. Fake Science. No, there's no concern. He said, I've been telling pregnant women, Murthy said, I've been telling pregnant women there's no evidence concerning adverse outcomes to pregnant women. And yet later, the World Health Organization even raised the issue. Fauci basically shrugged it off. He shrugged off science as presented by the World Health Organization. And I'm not going to praise the World Health Organization, but here's Dr. Fauci telling you to follow the science, and he's ignoring what they're saying. He said that any vaccine in which data are lacking in pregnant women, one must weigh the potential risk of COVID against the risk of miscarriage. He didn't state it that exact way, but that's exactly what it was leading to. Well, as you know, there is one sport that most guys never bothered watching. Many women wouldn't watch. But now it's almost a must-watch. Started with, obviously, the Fever star, Sophie, and others. And then, of course, we've been seeing the fouls called. I mean, this is like watching a cage match on a basketball court with women supposedly playing basketball. So the WNBA, do they know what the W stands for, by the way? The WNBA is getting more attention because of chaos, charges of racism, flagrant fouls. Here's the coach of the Indiana Fever.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not going to ever minimize it. You know, nothing that any one of us does is ever going to be we're going to please everyone all the time. You know, I hope that the biggest thing that we learn is how to be responsive instead of reactive. You know, in certain situations, I think it's really easy, and you know, especially for young people or for those who aren't in it every day, to react to everything that happens. It's also dangerous, you know, to react to everything that happens. But you know, I think just from a humanistic perspective and life lesson perspective, you know, I think our group does a really good job of responding. I think our group does a really good job pouring into one another, of keeping the main thing, of understanding that there are a lot of folks out there who want to divide us, that there are a lot of folks out there who want to create more challenges for us. And in our locker room, we do a really good job of keeping that outside the locker room and pulling for one another. I mean, you guys see it. The vibes are always pretty good in here. I'm proud of them for that. And I think, you know, outside of even just the sport and outside of the job, it serves great life lessons for us as well.
You know what? I don't know what happens in the WNBA locker room. I'll be the first to admit that. But she's basically giving air to those who are trying to mock the sport, and rightly so, because it's turning into a battle royale, not a basketball game. That's the only reason, and they're getting big numbers off. When Caitlin Clark came on the scene, this was a white girl. And yes, the question of racism came up because she was constantly getting fouled and so forth. And then Sophie Cunningham, and you know the clothesline ejection that happened to Dejana Carrington the other night, because she went after Sophie Cunningham, who was going for a layup, wrapped her arm around her neck and pulled her down. And she got a flagrant 2 violation, ejected. And then in the locker room, she posted white privilege, because Sophie is a white woman. And Sophie admits, I did something like that previously, and it was a foul, and I should have gotten ejected, and I did get a foul at that point. But also acknowledging this was a little more than what was happening in her case. One of the supporters of Carrington, Dejani Carrington, or however it's pronounced, said, the league has a race problem. You've had a race problem for some time. And when the Caitlin Clark, a white girl, showed up on the court and was out shooting some of the black girls, that should not be a race issue. It should be competition, but they turned it into race. Join us again tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.